Welcome to the Awesome Non-Speakers Podcast, which used to be called Awesome Autism Tools. I'm so excited about this new name. It reflects more clearly the heart of what I care so much about: connection, presumed competence, hope, and expression for non-speakers, unreliable speakers, and their families. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so excited for you to be able to listen to part one of this wonderful episode that I have. I interviewed Line, who is a communication partner with Maddie, and then a few weeks later, I interviewed Maddie with Line being her communication partner during the interview. So this is part one, where we get to hear Line, and she explains how she met Maddie, their relationship, and how she loves being her communication partner. And then in the follow-up episode, part two, you'll get to hear from Maddie. Sit back and enjoy. I'm so excited to have Line with me today on my podcast. I always just love having people start by introducing themselves. And for you, you're a communication partner. So if you want to share your journey to becoming a communication partner, that would be awesome.
Oh, goodness. That is quite an experience as well. I would say that Maddie and her family were actually in our ward down here in Carlsbad, California, about 6-7 years ago. And so they were in our ward for a few years, and they moved up to San Clemente. And Maddie had actually served her mission in our ward. And so that was awesome because she was able to speak, write up her missionary farewell and speak it. And then even when she was done, she wrote up her missionary homecoming and spoke it. It was just an amazing experience for everybody in the congregation to watch and just feel the spirit that she carries with her. And then they had moved up to San Clemente, and I didn't see them for maybe a couple of years, a year and a half to a couple of years. And then magically, the people that I was watching were moving up to Utah. And like the month before that all happened, I had already started having thoughts about Maddie and how she's doing and, you know, what she's up to. And it was, you know, for a month straight, I was thinking about her. And then her mom reaches out to me and she's, "Hey, Maddie was thinking about you. And we're trying to find," she didn't really say to be like her communication regulation partner. She just said something along the lines of, if I was able to work with her. And with Linda, it's kind of funny because I knew that she wasn't open spiritually. She would rather not have that, I guess, that side of the conversation, but I couldn't not share the things that I was already feeling and the thoughts that I was already having. And Linda just thought that just kind of blew her out of the water because I think Maddie and I were already thinking about each other. And I don't know if it was like her communicating with me or whatnot, but I know that when we are together and like we're just conversing with other people, I know when she needs to say something and I don't need to like prod her or ask her, because I just throw the board in front of her and then she'll spell and speak. And if I feel like she's getting too tired from spelling and speaking at the same time, that, you know, I'll just, you know, hey, I'll just, you know, do it like we normally do. And then you don't have to say it and it won't be as tiring for her, because the cognition level is way higher when she's trying to spell and speak at the same time. And we're getting her on the verge of speaking more and using her voice more compared to spelling and communicating her feelings that way. And so it's a wonderful process. It's just, it can be a little tiring for her. But anyway, Linda had come in to my home, and when we discussed it, I was like, you know what, this is divinely appointed, obviously. And I got done with the kids that I was watching. They moved up. And then the following week, I started working with Maddie. And I had seen that she learned how to spell to communicate. And so I had to jump on board and learn how to do that. And I feel like Maddie and I had a little bit of help, because I didn't take as long, I guess, communicating or learning how to communicate with her as other people generally do and the different steps and the different boards that you have to work through to be able to communicate with someone. And so it was funny because probably a few months into it, we were more open about gospel topics and she would freely tell me about that and freely start spelling with me because, you know, when you're learning how to spell with somebody, especially me being so brand new and not learning, you know, how to prompt her and this and that, I could see the difference between me asking her like everyday questions like, well, how was your day? What did you do this weekend? And she would have the hardest time spelling that with me. But then when we would talk about angels, her angels, which she kept very private, and then like just friends, both friends, AKA angels, both on this side and the other side of the veil. And so she's very private about that. And so our temple trips, which she wanted to keep private, I said, that's totally fine. But I had told her, I said, but I'm very open with, you know, me sharing, you know, me going to the temple and this and that. And I'm very open with who I share my information about when I have experiences with angels, both on this side of, and the other side of the veil. And she slowly, well, not slowly, but at first she just kept it, you know, close to the vest. And then as time went on and our temple trips, you know, kept going because we were going like two, sometimes three times a week because it was here down in San Diego when it was open. And it's very close to me. Whereas since that has closed, it's been 2 years, a little over 2 years now. And so we've been going up to Newport Beach, which is her temple. And because that's an hour drive for me, we'll go once a week. And but she just loves being in the temple, going to the temple. She does all her own work. She brings, you know, names every time we go. And so that's just something that she's been learning as well with her parents. And I'm pretty sure that's what she wants to do, like here on out, and help her people, bring them along. She wants to advocate for them to be in the temple as well. I just love her patience with people. And I think just to see from the beginning, like when she first had learned how to spell, and her parents were like just shock and awed. And for her, for me, I think I just saw immediately she's been patient this long and she's just a very patient person and is just willing to wait and help you come along in this whole journey of learning how to communicate with her and so forth. So it's such an awesome thing to be a part of, to witness. She's hilarious. She's goodness, lots of different things. She's in love. It's just the cutest thing.
Oh, that's so awesome. I love that. Okay, so I'm just a little curious, how long ago did she start spelling? And did you see that beginning part of like before, did you know her before she was a speller? I guess is the question. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, so you've seen the whole journey.
So they were up in San Clemente when they had first learned that she could spell, that she could communicate. I came into the picture and her mom was completely open with her. And so I think that they had been spelling about maybe a year. She became very open with her mom quicker. And then her dad started coming and working with her and they're pretty open now. And then I finally came on and then just worked my way up as well.
Yeah. Okay. That's so great. I love that so much. What have been some of the most rewarding and also maybe some of the most challenging moments for you working with Maddie or working as a communication partner? And I'm guessing she's the only one you've been a communication partner with.
No, we had a day program. And so I would go in and sub and I would, if, you know, I would come in contact with other kids. Well, I say kids, but other young adults. And so I would work my way up with them quickly, you know, to get them, you know, us kind of synced up, I guess, for lack of a better term, because I already know how to help them initiate and stuff. And so it was easier for me to be able to go and work with another person. And Maddie is very, I've watched many people that Maddie has brought up very quickly because she's just that, she's just a helper.
All right. So that's a good understanding. So what have been for you some of the most rewarding parts and on the other hand, the most challenging parts?
So when Maddie and I first came together, her mom would tell me just things that she was going through. So she was getting shots to where she wasn't getting her period. And then she communicated to her mom that she didn't want to have those shots anymore. So Linda told me about that. And I told Linda, hey, I can help teach her and help her to learn how to try and use pads, you know, just so it was a little more elementary for her and easier. But I quickly learned that she doesn't like anything. She doesn't like Band-Aids. So she gets any scratches or cuts or anything, she refuses Band-Aids. And so I'm like, okay, this is very similar to Band-Aids. Like, yep. She doesn't want anything on her. So there was one specific incident where I was like, I have a bathroom. So it's like just the stall in there and like a small sink. And so I think she felt like she was like a caged animal. And then we fought, not really fought, but she bit me and I was like, okay, we're gonna do this again. And they are very strong, but I was able to like keep her handled, so to speak, to where the situation could not get out of hand. And I feel like I've experienced things in my life where I don't act too quickly and my demeanor is just to stay calm and to de-escalate more than anything. And just so that she knows that I have her best interest at heart and we're just going to calm the situation and de-escalate the situation. So I could see it in her face and in her eyes that she just was like, you can't hold me in here. And then as soon as she bit me, I was like, okay, this is it. It's fine. And I had told her mom and I was like, it's fine. I just know now that she will not have a pad. And so she's like, that's fine. And I know that her and her mom had communicated as far as, you know, her periods and that she will most likely just have to get back on the shot. And so I think Maddie was like, I think that's fine because I've tried it and I'm good. So let's just go back to what it was before and we'll just carry on like normal business.
Oh, yeah. That is a challenge, but I love that you were able to harness your ability to stay calm.
Well, and I think I had to learn that as I learned how to spell with her because I could feel my own dysregulation rising when I would try and spell with her. And then I knew when I learned that lesson, I'm pretty sure that I had posted about it on Facebook because it was such a thing for me to do to kind of just share it and get it out rather than writing in my journal or whatever. I just shared it to get it out of my system.
Right.
And so I had to regulate myself and make sure that my mind was clear before I could communicate with her so that she knew that everything was all her and I was just geared toward her.
Yes. And that is challenging, I feel like.
Yeah, I think you have to practice that for sure.
Yeah.
You know, when you're with these kids, because when they go into any situation, any normal situation, they can feel energy like way faster than we can. You know, like how you can feel tension in the air and you can cut through the tension with the knife. Mm-hmm. These kids can feel energy and are very, way more perceptive to things before we are. And it's like they see that way clearer. And I feel they can feel and see even spirits way clearer than we can. That's how I always say that the veil is just very thin for her.
Yeah. I've definitely found that with a lot of my clients. So
yeah. And it's kind of an awesome thing. Like you just have to understand and, you know, just like anybody else, any regular person that's not autistic, when you come to meet that person, you kind of feel their energy and just kind of learn the ropes of what's good to talk about, what's not. And that's mm-hmm. the same with them as well.
Right. Yeah. So then what have been, that was like a challenging moment for sure.
That was the only challenging thing. Other than that, it's like pushing her, you know, to just keep going. And, you know, she wants to speak. She is bent on speaking. And so I am here to push her do that. I presume competence. I just learned that, like, she wants to be treated like a normal person. And that is the first thing in my head for her when we go out in the community and just treat her exactly like I would my own kids. She is like the same age as my older kids. And yeah, and like my daughters, like whoever was here at the house, they, even when I was daycaring, whoever lived in the house, like as far as my kids, they would love on the kids, you know. And Maddie and her family were in our ward, and so they knew Maddie and before they moved out. But her coming back into the home and me having Maddie, they were able to, like, you know, get to know her again and feel the love and stuff like that. And just being able to, goodness, see her accomplish what little feats that she has. My goodness, she's getting her bachelor's degree, you know, doing that. Linda, her parents was like, you know, she wants to go to school, but how are we going to do this? And I just went through the pathway program. And I said, well, the pathway missionaries are in my ward, and they were just in the ward. So they, I don't know if they knew the people that were the missionaries for the class. I was like, well, why doesn't Maddie just jump into their class and take the pathway program? And because it was in the evening, she did it with her parents. But then once she was done with pathways and going on into like online work, she just pushed forward and her parents helped her with all the classes. I did all of her institute classes. And so it's just a wonderful thing to be able to do normal things with her and have conversations, because she's just on a higher plane than us. I asked her, like, one day, I don't even know how long ago this was, but I asked her, I said, what is your favorite language? Because I was curious, do you know other languages? Mm-hmm. We just don't know. And so when I asked her that, she had spelled to me that the Adamic language is her favorite language. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I was curious. I was like, what's the Adamic language? And to me, in my mind, I was thinking, is this the language that we spoke in heaven?
Yeah, that's and what I think. What did she say?
Yes. Well, I don't even think I even asked her that question. Mm-hmm. I think I just went on my own journey of finding out what this was. And I feel like we kind of had an insight in each other's minds. And I immediately was like, it felt right to me that this was the language that we spoke with our heavenly parents and with each other in heaven. And she just was always being so giddy every time, you know, we had discussed it. And okay, I already figured it out. And she's like, yes, confirming it, like, because of her giddiness and how excited she would be. I'm like, okay, let's go. And so I, awesome. Even any autistic kid that they come in contact with, I feel like that's what they do. That's how they communicate. And it's us as mere humans who have to, like, you know, catch up to them and right. come up on their level. Linda was telling me that she had started listening to the telepathy tapes and she's enjoying it. And I've known many people who have listened to it and I've yet to listen to them. I said, well, let me just get through like the holidays and get through, because all the kids are coming in town and I don't want to like start diving in and then I'm ignoring everything else.
Right. Yes.
And I already feel like, I feel like once I start listening, it'll just be a confirmation of everything that I've already learned and lived through with Maddie. Right. And so I'm excited because Linda will just keep telling me about it. And I'm like, no, I love it. I will listen to it, but I love to hear what your thoughts are and just to see the light in her eyes, because she was not one to really be open like this. Like with Maddie, her dad was always the one who would read the scriptures to her and just be a little more calming and open to Maddie, whereas her mom was more just worried about doing things for her and worried about her being able to do things for herself. She's just more the worrier and her dad not so much. And so that's kind of like how it is in my own life. My husband's the worrier and I'm not. And so I know exactly like how Linda is thinking, and not exactly, but I know generally speaking, like what she's feeling when she starts telling me stuff. I'm like, oh no, I get it. And it's fine. But this is what I do with Maddie. I'll tell her things that happen at the end of the day. And she's just very grateful that Maddie has someone else and not just her parents. And I said, you know, that's life. That's even my own children. They're going to listen to their coach or their teachers before they listen to their parents.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
it makes sense. It would be the same for Maddie too.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's so wonderful that you guys found each other. I mean,
I know.
a beautiful way over time. Like it took time, but it makes sense. Like it was the right timing for you to start working with her in this way when that happened.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what maybe has surprised you the most about working with Maddie or other kids that are on the spectrum?
Surprised me. Maybe the speed at which we've become even more open. I would probably say nothing even surprises me anymore.
I like
but
that.
I would feel, I don't know, I guess the speed at which we're completely open with each other. I know that she could be in my head. And like when we're spelling, I'm like, no, that's my answer. What's your own answer? Leave my mind alone. And you tell, you know, what is your answer? I want to know what you're thinking. And we'll laugh about it. And she's, well, maybe you're reading my head. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe, but I highly doubt it. And we'll joke about that. But like, she's such a wonderful character. And I just love how patient she is for people who just don't know. And I don't know. I guess I don't know how to answer most surprising thing. I think the most delightful thing is her expressing her love for another individual, like for her boyfriend. And I don't know if they're calling each other boyfriend, girlfriend, but they've already expressed that they love each other. So it's the most adorable thing. Now we'll have like weekly meetings with each other to where they can FaceTime and communicate, at least say hi.
Yeah, that's fun. Like navigating kind of that together.
Yes.
Yeah, walking side by side with her. She's navigating in that. That's neat.
And it's cute to see the parents because they're both like, oh, I don't know, you know, because I think in the telepathy tapes, they were talking about, I think she came to a point in the tapes where they were talking about people in love. And and I immediately was like, but it's not like the same for them as it is for us. We are physical, like our natural man comes out way faster and they don't have that. That's the blessing of them is they don't have that. They are all mental and it's just
and like spiritual, like it's
exactly.
Like it's, they're connecting on a different level
exactly.
than we do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I immediately was like, yeah, that's not what it is for them. Like for them, it's a very pure love. And again, they're on a higher, holier plane than we are. And so Linda was like, okay, I get that. Because I think they had discussed that in the telepathy tapes. And I think it's just so wonderful to be able to not have to worry about like the physical things that we have to worry about. Of course, you know, they probably are like wondering, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But then because they don't have to, or because it's not available to them, I guess in a different term, like they don't have to worry or they don't have to waste time about worrying about it.
Yeah.
Like
it's not
a
like a
normal
focus.
Person
it's not
correct.
Like we would be like hyper focused on that portion of our relationship. And to
Exactly.
them, that's, I don't want to say it doesn't exist because it probably does on some level, but it's kind of like secondary or even thirdly or fourthly because it's not as accessible.
Exactly.
Yeah. So interesting. That's so fun. Okay. So I have a few more questions and then I want to know if there's any other topics you want to cover, but I guess like any advice for parents who maybe aren't working with a communication partner yet, or maybe haven't found one that fits their needs or something. Like, do you have any advice for parents? And then the next question will be, do you have any advice for someone that wants to become a communication partner? So we'll start with the first question. Do you have any advice for parents who want to start working with a communication partner for their child?
So for parents, I would, I think, let, you know, just say exactly what Linda did. She asked Maddie. And Maddie already had the answer for her. So kind of be open to what your children want because they're the ones who are going to be working with them. And so I'm pretty sure that they already have somebody in mind.
Oh, yes.
And, you
I
know,
love
I feel
that.
Like that person is also being prepared. Like Heavenly Father is in the details And so ask your speller.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I think that's great. I've seen one of the kids showed me how like their angel like communicated with, I can't remember the exact situation, but whatever the situation was, like the other person's angel, like together their heads, the angel's heads almost like connected. And then they were able to coordinate what needed to happen. It was this beautiful image that one of my clients gave me. I was like, oh, that's powerful. Like, I want that. And actually now, hopefully, I'm sure my son doesn't listen to this because now I pray for like his angel. He's had girlfriends in the past, but I'm like that his angel can find his girlfriend's angel and they can put their heads together and help make it happen. You know,
like, yeah.
They can do the things we can't do.
Exactly. I mean, and I feel like it's already happening. We just don't have an inkling to that because that's not where our thoughts are. That's not where our minds are because we're so down on earth and we're so human. So our thoughts aren't even turned to that. Whereas working with these kids and being around these kids, like it just automatically opens that part.
Yes. You have access to different realms.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. It's beautiful. So I love that advice for the parents to just ask their kids because they already know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that when you're saying like angel, I think it's spirit to spirit. Like Maddie, when Maddie and Cade, so Maddie was filming with Cade because that's why Cade was in town last week. There's a producer up in LA and she also listened to the telepathy tapes and was just like mind blown and wanted to like learn more about this. And so Cade was in a movie and Maddie came out and filmed with him. And I was actually coming back home from Idaho from visiting my grandchildren up in Idaho. So it was like a perfect, you know, perfect day for me to be gone. And so she was with her boyfriend that day. And they were basically filming like being in love and like just scenes of being in love and, you know, whatever this lady had in mind, like what her vision was. And, you know, that's what they did. And so I think that when the producer had asked Maddie, like, how do you guys talk? And Maddie said, well, we spell to communicate, diplomatically speaking. And then she says, but we also speak to each other's souls. And I guess for lack of the spiritual side of things, it's more spirit to spirit. And I feel like Maddie's and my spirits are a lot more in sync.
Yeah. And you're able to communicate that way and connect that way. Yeah. Connect on that level. I love that. All right. How about any advice for someone that wants to become a communication partner or that is one and starting?
Right. Yeah. Yes. So obviously this is a line of work that chooses you. And I think that you have that sort of demeanor, like bedside manner, I guess, as far as like a term, I don't know, lack of a better term. And so your mind is already open to that. And so I feel like if you want to be a communication partner, just be open to all the lessons. And you're going to have to learn how to regulate your own self and your own mind before you start coming into learning how to communicate with another person. Because their mind is very strong, but they are patient people. And so when we are coming into it, we have to be open to what, you know, these professionals who have gone through it and all the prompts and the cues that they're giving us, we have to be open to that. And we have to listen to the spirit because it's really what it is. You have to listen to the spirit because every person is different.
Right. I will finish with my last question because my podcast is called Awesome Autism Tools. So what is an awesome tool that you would like to suggest or have you ever come across that has helped you working with these kids?
I think that I will always come back to being able to listen to the spirit because even in my own life, I have to listen to the spirit of any and all situations that come up But with these kids and them already being on a higher plane than us, I have to be open to what they want and what's on their minds and what they're feeling, you know, should something be coming up with them. Just have to listen to the spirit and know. I mean, just like in regular life, how we hear the spirit and feel the spirit in different ways, we have to know what their ways are as well. But I think the tool for me is just to listen to the spirit. That's always been like the best thing, working with any and all of them, you know, being around any and all of them.
Thank you so much, Linae. This has been so fun. And I'm so glad that we're able to connect and and do this interview.
Thank you, Sheridan. It was wonderful to speak with you.
Yes, so fun. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening today. If this episode was helpful, please share it with a friend. And remember to sign up for my Very Awesome Friends newsletter to get access to the private podcast and other helpful resources. I'd love to stay connected with you there.